All right, back on the record of the Clemenson appeal, August 7th, 2025, 12:35 p.m. Mr. Clemenson is still questioning Mr. Edwards. We're just going to go on for another 20 minutes and then take our 2-hour lunch break at that point. So go ahead, Mr. Clemenson.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to share screen once again. Confirm that you guys can see it. Yes. All right, so we don't have much left here on water. Mr. Edwards, when answering item B3C3, so in other words, number three that you see here on your screen, about the proposal altering or otherwise affecting drainage patterns in the vicinity of the site. At the time this was filled out, had any consultation been done with the owners of the parcels downstream from the conversion to learn about how that conversion affected the stream adjacent to your parcel?
I mean, it's the same stream, right? It's just that
Yeah.
continued on to the adjacent parcel.
Correct.
No, I this was specific to our project and our property, not I didn't believe it was related to other people's properties, but ours specifically. And the drainage hasn't been altered on our property. The initial drainage ditch that has been through the east to west of the midsection of our property existed at construction of our property. So prior to us purchasing it, we didn't modify it in any way.
Did you consult with any of the folks in drainage basin to your northeast? So Level Lloyd Lane area, did you or your engineer, if you know, prior to filling out this SEPA checklist, in regards to any flooding along Level Lloyd Lane or flooding of any basements that occurred after the conversion in properties in that area?
No, I did not talk to any neighbors into the north, northeast of our property prior to filling this form out.
Okay, so let's move on. Plant life. The next questions are about the vegetation on your parcel. And we're going to get to something very important here. Your answer to item B4A, so the checklist you see here, indicates that there was a mixture of coniferous and deciduous trees, shrub, pasture, and other grasses and wet soils on the parcel. Was this list inclusive of the plants that existed after the initial clearing as well?
After the initial clearing. So this was my understanding is the SEPA is looking back. Again, I'm thinking back 6 years ago. I filled it out as what I thought was the case when we cleared, but not there hasn't been many changes since as far as new plants post-clearing. I guess I'm not sure where you're going with that, but
Okay.
the only trees we're out of were the ones I planted that are all approved by the county, and so there hasn't been any changes outside of that.
Okay, so you indicated that there was pasture grasses existing on the parcel at the time, correct?
I mean, the pasture grass, I guess, would be more related to what I planted on the property post-clearing. I mean, we had grass on our property before the clearing. We also had everything else checked.
You did not call out the fact that there was a cedar farm on the property about 10 to 20 years in age. Any reason for that?
A cedar farm?
Yeah, cedar trees planted in a farm formation.
I mean, there was the Christmas tree to the northeast of my property, that like area that was planted. I honestly don't recall if those were grand fir or what type of species of tree that is. They're definitely evergreen or conifer, but not there are some cedar on our property for sure.
Okay. And in retrospect, there were water plants in your wetlands as well.
I imagine that there are plants in the wetlands, yes,
Okay.
which we did not clear into the wetland, only that one area into the buffer, which has been restored.
Was there an extensive variety of mosses and ferns and other ground cover previously prevalent in the deforested area?
Yeah, there's definitely sword ferns in the area. I'm sure there's probably moss in the Pacific Northwest.
Okay. In relation to the next answer, so we're looking at Item B4B, you indicate that vegetation to be removed or altered consisted of stumps and brush. Why didn't you mention trees?
Suppose because the trees, we don't intend to take any more trees, as mentioned earlier. So, those were already removed. So.
Okay. So in other words, you were filling out this checklist in part on your perspective of the land. You know, this was 2020, so you were looking at it in 2020 and from that perspective.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly think it's a combination of both, where we were and where we were going. So, I don't think it, but. Again, 6 years ago, I'd have to go back to who I, that day, and I don't recall exactly.
Okay.
I filled out to the best of my knowledge at the time.
Okay. So you know now that the let's see, the forest had Western Red Cedar, Douglas and Grand Fir, as you were just mentioning, bigleaf maples, alders, madrone, other native tea species, what ground cover like salal, huckleberry. So you mentioned sword ferns, right?
Yeah, we still have some salal on our property. We still have huckleberry on our property. We have sword ferns, yes.
I'm going to skip a couple of questions here for expediency. In regards to item B4D, so what we're seeing at the bottom of this page, you know, it would seem that the checklist here is concerned with the parcel's condition after the conversion in this answer, as you say. There's no discussion in this answer about the preservation measures for the surviving existing trees that were in the conversion area because some of them were left. Were you planning on retaining any of the native buffers around the north end of your parcel at the time you completed this checklist?
Yeah, so I think we spoke about this on the site plan questions is the site plan allowed the clearing limit. But we don't actually intend to clear any of the trees up north. What's there today will be there many years from now. If anything, the ones we planted and will continue to plant will, further create even more trees in that area. But like, I'm trying to follow your question. I'm sorry, can you
Okay.
repeat it?
Were you plant we're talking about indeed what it's asking for measures to preserve or enhance the vegetation on the site. So when it comes to preserving, you didn't mention anything about preservation in this answer, which is why we're a bit confused.
Okay, so proposed planting deciduous trees along the existing drive, other cleared areas outside of hard surfaces and existing lawn area to be seeded with deep rooting grass and forbs. Anything else below that, or is that where it ends? Oh yeah, that's where it
That's
ends.
where it ends.
Okay. Yeah, it doesn't, I mean, it's evident. Nothing says that we're leaving those trees. To the north, even though we have and we will, as now, especially with the SEPA buffer to the north as well, that requires that. So,
On item B4E, we get into what we all know and love as noxious weeds and invasive species. You indicate that your parcel was not itself a host to Himalayan blackberry and Scotch broom. Did the parcel not contain a massive blackberry bramble, sorry, in its northeast quadrant?
so I think we're changing the dates and times. I was filling this out versus where that bramble grew post clearing and post submission of this form. So yes, there was a blackberry bramble in that area, which has been removed, and per the county giving permission to do so, we've also removed blackberry from the buffer areas elsewhere that we're maintaining. We also mow the fields to prevent. Additional spreading, just Scotch broom, same thing. We either mechanically remove it or we mow it, that if we can't get to all of it, and over the years it gets less and less and less. But yes, after clearing, there was a time where Scotch broom moved in. All those seeds that have been sitting there for many years had sunlight and started to take off. So we've been managing that consistently along with tansy ragwort.
And we'll talk more about the broom and the tansy ragwort in the future.
All of which I'm maintaining.
Well, the tansy ragwort's a problem, of course, because it's of course poisonous to animals, so it's a particular issue.
Some animals, not all.
We're going to see some photos here. Let's start with A254. This was a the 2017 photo of the moving on. A254. I can get all the way down to it because it's way at the bottom. Okay, so what we're looking at here is essentially your western boundary where the Clemmensen and Starkel properties to your west meet. Do you recognize that? This photo was taken right after the conversion to silt fencing had been put in. It was November of 2019. Do you recognize that area?
Yeah, I recognize the area. It looks much different today, and what doesn't it?
It looks different. In fact, let's go there. A255. So this is that same piece of the forest restoration project neighboring you to your west. So this is 2022. So this would have been 3 years. Do you note the differences? Have you noticed them also just while walking your property?
Yeah, I just walked my property yesterday, walking the dogs, and it doesn't look like that. And we're in the middle of summer. It's vibrant, it's green and growing, and sword ferns are doing great.
Okay,
I'm happy.
so right now it no longer looks like this in 2025, but in 2022, do you recognize this?
From this picture, yes, I recognize the area.
Okay, we're going to look at one more before and after. So this would have been August of 2019. Parties will also be able to see, by the way, the blue ribbons placed on trees near the boundary. No native weed infestation anywhere in this area, pretty much just sword fern understory. W was that consistent with what you had on your side of the property line as well?
Yeah, I don't remember a lot of Scotch broom or blackberry or tansy prior to clearing, as I mentioned.
Okay. Moving on to A257. This is the same area 3 years
Mr.
later.
Examiner, can I object on accumulation grounds? Short of Mr. Edwards confirming that each individual fern is location to kind of just describing this project, I don't understand the relevance of any of this inquiry. We have the pictures of the site. It's all on the record. We have the test or the well the testimony of Mr. Edwards and also his answers on the SEBA document. So I'm not
Okay.
sure what the
Mr.
relevancy here is.
Clemenson, how much more do you got on this? This is I take it noxious weed infestation? Is that what
This
you're
is noxious weeds. I've only got two sets of questions after this. This is the last one about the western side. There's one about the northern side as well.
Okay, and what are you leading towards here? Is this that the clearing has opened the property up for more noxious infestation, or I'm just not quite sure
Yeah,
what the
that noxious infestation has occurred. See, what we're seeing in this photo right now, the tree on the left is actually on the property line. So we're seeing noxious weed infestation on the applicant's parcel here to the right, at least as of this time.
Let's see how let's wrap it up.
Yeah,
Go ahead.
that didn't exist
Overall.
before.
Yeah.
And since this picture that has
Yeah.
been manually removed, but you're not showing that picture. So I'm maintaining it and removing it as it pops up.
And will that be perpetual? I mean, are you and
Fire.
neighbors
So
going to need to be doing that in perpetuity?
we have for 6 years and we'll continue to do so.
Okay. Let's. You talked about the. You already recognized the bramble on the eastern side. Level Lloyd has a sizable bramble on. Is that correct?
Yeah, I wish I could remove it. I'm restricted
I
from
think we
doing
all
so.
wish we could remove it. Item 264, just for reference, for what we're discussing here. This is level Lloyd to the applicant's east. And since the conversion, that bramble, as Mr. Edwards, I believe you say this is just proliferated, correct?
The one on the right, the bramble you're looking at, I'm proposing that has largely been removed on my side as up to the fence line. So,
Yeah, some of it has. Okay,
but
I've
what's
got
on
the.
Lovell Lloyd's property is not my property. I can't clear it. So,
Yeah, okay. I've only got one more on the noxious weeds. It's A265. And then we're going to move on. So this is the Keith property to the north. Has the loss of the canopy caused a proliferation of the noxious weeds on this parcel as well, as you see when you come in and out of your property?
I have seen some Himalayan blackberry growing on that property. I've removed the any that grows on my side and or continue to maintain it. There's still some, but I'm continuously working at removing it.
Okay. When you're mowing the Scotch broom on your pastures, because sometimes it just gets ends up mowed. Have you noticed that it tends to grow sideways?
Yes, and that's why it's a combination. It's not just mowing. It's also manual removal. No
Okay.
pesticides. Me removing it manually.
Okay. And the same goes for the.
Wet and soggy seasons when it's easier to pull out.
Understood. And that's the same for the tansy ragwort, of course, correct?
Yeah, I'm in the process of
Okay.
that. This is the time of year it's blooming, and I'm actively removing it currently.
As part of this action, have you considered a total amendment of the top 8 inches of soil per Kitsap County standards to solve this issue?
No, I think over time I am solving it. It's getting better and better every year, and it's reducing each year, and I will continue to do so until it's removed and gone.
Okay. We're going to move back to the checklist. Item A, B5A. The one that asks you to identify the species on your parcel.
Yeah, at
Did
the
you,
time,
yeah, did
again.
you, at the time, did you conduct an analysis of, for instance, the woodland species that existed in your northern forest acreage prior to the removal?
No, I think it's important to kind of put some context to this. I circled the species that I was aware of at the time. Since then, I could easily circle more and add more. At the time, we hadn't owned the property that long, you know, not to go on a long history of my life, but there was a lot going on. New house, new job, management position, new employees I'm managing, new baby, along with the other baby we already had. We had a lot going on. And so, yes, I filled this out the best I do at the time. I did not do an independent analysis of every woodland creature in our forest. But I,
Okay.
from top of mind and what I've seen based on the time I've spent on the property, I tried to answer it as best as I could.
Okay. There are 20 to 30 additional species, for everything from reptiles to amphibians
Mr.
to.
Kramer, can I ask a point or just a clarifying question here? Mr. Clemenson, how much more time do you have questioning on this specific SEPA checklist?
Where are we? We're on animals. What are there, 10, 11? I think we're about halfway through.
Okay.
Because we haven't gotten to aesthetics yet.
Sure. So I would propose that if we're going to continue going along in this fashion, that we come back to Mr. Edwards after we have a chance, or after you have a chance to interview Mr. Heacock, because this seems like an incredibly inefficient use of our time here.
Well, yeah, what I'll say on that issue is typically when it comes to animals and you're dealing with SEPA, the only time you're concerned, the only time that it's considered a probable significant adverse impact is if you're dealing with a threatened or protected species under county regulations. Otherwise, it's just, pretty universal in all communities that if you're going to lose a lot of squirrels or deer or something like that, that's not protected. It's not considered a significant impact. So, Mr. Clemenson, on that issue, and we're going to have to stop the questioning at this point, unless we're dealing with some protected species there. I don't see that the impacts to animals has any relevance to the SEPA proceeding. But I wanted, and you can just reflect on that one for when we come back at 3 o'clock. It looks like we're not going to finish today, obviously, since we still have several applicant witnesses. And so I wanted to ask Ms. Oda, you mentioned Ms. Olson's only available today, but she could be available on another day if we need her, correct?
Yes, I actually
Yeah.
was just pulling that up. The dates of most recent future. Today she's available 2 to 4. Tomorrow she's available 3 to 4. 8:15 she's available all day.
Okay. So we can, so yeah, what I would suggest is we come back at 3. Let's see, because I do want to, first let's hear from Mr. Heacock, and then we'll figure out if Ms. Olson needs to still come in after we hear from Mr. Heacock, or whether he can answer the kind of questions that Mr. Clemenson has. So I'd say Ms. Olson doesn't need to appear at 3. That way we can continue with Mr. Edwards' testimony at 3 o'clock. So with that, yeah, 12:55, we'll see you at 3 o'clock. And as I said, we'll just continue with Mr. Edwards and then move on to Mr. Clemenson's other witnesses. So we'll see you then.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.